This station, in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration, presents by transcription, My Brother's Keeper.
This is part two of an assignment of facts played against a background of fiction. I'm a writer. The first part concerned the evacuation of a city. A million people thrust out onto the land surrounding their city. That part ended with the sound of fury that is the splitting of atoms and the rending of a city. This report then begins in a moment with that same sound, but with a different perspective. A perspective with a point of origin 35 miles outside the city. A point that takes the form of a country church in a small rural town. And so, the city of a million population has been alerted against attack. There is no recourse but to evacuate. This is the problem. Where do these hundreds of thousands of people go? Even if they get out of the radius of destruction, can they live? How does a man or a woman or child exist when for the first time he must leave everything behind and walk out into the country surrounding his city? And if he alone could survive and find food and shelter, is it possible that 100,000... or 50,000, or even 1,000 could. Not for long. The answer then is 10 or 20 or 50 miles away from town. The answer is in the people we have long called the backbone of America, our farmers and their small rural communities. A church bell, ringing not for the Sabbath, but for a type of salvation never before demanded so much on this earth. This time it is an emergency bell ringing out a call to arms, human arms, from the town of Crossroads, 35 miles from the city. Crossroads, rural community, calculated not to lie in the direction of prevailing winds that could bring the invisible particles of death fallout raining down on the people whose only exhausted thought is, we are safe.
My friends, thank you for responding so quickly. By now, you must know why you are here. Our major cities are in imminent danger of attack. We must consider ourselves under full mobilization. We will soon be coming to grips with our training in civil defense.
This man is their minister. This minister is the head of their civil defense organization. His people have stayed in town many hours after church on Sundays to learn civil defense, to learn how to make their small community serve as an evacuation center. This village, with a church and parish hall, a Boy Scout hut, an elementary school with its adjacent teacher's home, and a general store. A molehill to be made into a mountain of help and hope.
Reverend, how much time? That is, do you know when it's liable to happen?
John, I'm told perhaps 3 hours, three and a half. So line up your transportation crew as fast as possible. Is Alma Johnson here?
Here, Reverend. Not so fast anymore, maybe, but sure.
And Mrs. Callan, are you here?
Yes, Reverend.
Pat Logan?
Right here, Reverend.
In order that we may not waste any time, I'd suggest you people call your groups together while the others are still arriving. Pat, will you lead off?
Well, for now, let's have all the scouts and the others from the shelter and housing group. Alma, are you going to set up the cafeteria and the scout hut right away?
We'll meet and organize in the church kitchen first, Pat.
Okay. For now, we'll meet at the scout hut to get things underway. Later on, our headquarters will be in the registration area. That's all I have.
Well, everybody in mass feeding, go over to the church kitchen there in the basement. Like we planned, that kitchen will take care of feeding the sick and wounded. The scout hut will be the cooking shed for everyone who can walk. The cafeteria line will set up out in front of it.
The first aid and hospital will be set up in the church parish hall.
Yeah, let's have the transportation group headquarters across the street at the gas station.
Friends, before we leave for our work, let us bow our heads in a moment of individual prayer. Amen.
The work of organizing goes ahead. There's little noise, except for the trucks and cars delivering supplies and equipment under John Masters' direction. He owned a farm equipment store before settling on a cattle ranch near Crossroads. And Alma Johnson leads her women in the unending job of food preparation, from a background and reputation of putting out the best church dinners in the county. Mrs. Callan, whose training in nursing had stood idle since her marriage and until civil defense needed her, quickly falls back into the routine of aseptic preparation for the wounded on a scale that would have frightened her when she was in practice. A far cry from the almost pleasant task of first aiding a broken arm or confirming measles in the absence of a town doctor. Across the way, Pat Logan, for years the leader of the Crossroads Scout Troop, supervises the making of truck tarpaulins and whatever is available into shelter tents, the collection of firewood for cooking and for warmth. Time passes quickly. There's little sign of nervousness, except for a seemingly unconscious gesture here and there, looking at a watch, watching time. As evacuees from the city arrive, they are put to work and the task force grows. And then for all, the time arrives. From inside the church, out through its open windows and over the rumbling of a wounded earth, this minister interrupts a prayer service for that of another.
In the midst of life, we are in death. Of whom may we seek for succor but of thee, O Lord, who for our sins art justly displeased? Yet, O Lord God most holy, O Lord most mighty, O holy and most merciful Savior, suffer us not at our last hour for any pains of death to fall from thee. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away.
Into the hands of God are committed those who, like the city, have been taken. The heart of the city has been devastated. For the ever-increasing number of its evacuees, there must be some place new to be called home. Temporarily, it must be Crossroads. The panic that will be driving these frantic people blindly away from their most terrible moment on earth must be alleviated by this one man of God and his parishioners until other help arrives to assume part of the burden. With every form of transportation available, more and more people arrive. First, they go through the cafeteria line at the scout hut for sandwiches, milk, coffee. From there, they go on to the schoolhouse. They must register their names for the slow and tedious process of one day reuniting families. Next in line is the first of the family we followed in their evacuation of the city during the first part of this report. Mark Douglas and his steady girl from the high school that was evacuated on foot to the edge of the city and then by truck to Crossroads.
Mark, what are your parents' names?
Alice and Harvey Douglas. Mom's a nurse. Dad's with an advertising agency.
Are you a scout, Mark?
Yes, ma'am.
But do you want to help our local troop? They're putting up shelters and keeping the fires going. They can use you.
Sure, I'd like to help. Jan, you want to help with something too, don't you?
Oh, you said your name was Janet Baker, right? Is there anything I can do at the hospital? I used to talk to your mother, Mark, about nursing and the hospital. I'd like to see it, how it works. I've had first aid. I can type.
And she doesn't get sick at the sight of blood. Remember when I broke my arm?
Oh, I'm sure you can help, Janet. They'll welcome you at the hospital. But first, I want to see you.
To help others is to help oneself. To keep oneself from looking toward the pillar of smoke that holds to itself over the city some 35 miles away. It can be seen through the windows of the church, where prayer services are being held one after the other. It cannot be seen from the kitchen in the basement.
Floyd, we can use some men to carry this soup kettle over at the scout hut. Strong ones. It's heavy.
Billy, Sam, soup kettles to go over to the scout hut.
Floyd Hendricks, owner of the local store, now in charge of supplies. His store and the supplies on every farm in this part of the state are being used to feed the thousands of evacuees.
Alma, two more trucks of sandwiches coming in.
Over to the scout hut.
Stopped by the Samson place while I was delivering that flour. Ought to see it. They've got 5 beeves and 3 porkers barbecuing over there. Same wherever you go. Never seen anything like it.
Floyd, we got little time for talk. Are they making sandwiches? That's the point.
Samson told me they got near 100 making sandwiches. I hope that load of flour comes in from Jackson pretty quick. Another hour and they'll have to hold up the bread baking.
But I heard another truck pull in, Floyd. See if it's a vegetable. Come on, come on. This isn't a poster.
Alma, you're a real doer.
With the late afternoon comes the first big groups of sick and wounded. Until now, the minister has been able to stay near the church holding brief prayer services.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As he looks up from the prayer, the minister sees a Catholic priest and a rabbi at the back of the church. His wife leads the hymn singing, and the minister greets the priest and the rabbi and offers his church to their services. They make their plans for a division of duties and the use of the small stockpile of testaments, crucifixes, and prayer books provided for by civil defense preparation. As the first night approaches, the scouts build up the fires needed for light and warmth. In the distance, the glow of the burning city fades up in the darkness, and large numbers of the sick and wounded tax the temporary hospital.
Put the litter down right here. I have to fill out this medical tag. May I have your name, sir?
His name's William Tate. I think it's a heart. Jan!
Mr. Douglas. Oh, Mr. Douglas, I didn't recognize you. The light's so dim. Mark's here. He's safe.
Bill, did you hear that? My son's here. Jan, you'd better get the doctor over here. Tate's my boss. We had a rough time getting out of town. I didn't think we'd make it.
Doctor, an emergency here. Heart. Let's step outside, Mr. Douglas. I need a break. Mary, will you help the doctor for a few minutes? Thanks.
Jan, have you heard anything about your folks?
No. Been trying not to think about it, Mr. Douglas. I've been working and trying not to think. Oh, but it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do.
I'm sure they're all right, Jan.
May I be of any help?
No, Reverend Martin. I'll be all right. This is Mark's father, Reverend Martin. I'm just glad to see him.
Jan's been doing a wonderful job. We're proud of her. I was just on my way in to warn you that we're expecting a convoy of patients from one of the hospitals in the city. We'll have to be ready for them.
Do you know which hospital, Reverend?
I think the one on the east side of town. They managed to get everyone into the basement levels for cover.
Oh, that's where Mrs. Douglas nurses. She's all right.
Thank God.
I hope so, and I'm very happy for you. There are many not so lucky, but there are some things we as men must do also in order to survive. I thank God we're able to do so many of them here. Perhaps once again each of us can truly say, I am my brother's keeper.
Here the report ends. At the beginning of weeks and months of work to be done in Crossroads and every other community like it. Night and day until all can be done that is possible for the survivors of the city, the work of these rural people continues. For after training evacuees to replace them here, they must go back to the producing of food. As I said, I'm a writer. These were facts played against a background of fiction, an assignment, to project known facts about the H-bomb and civil defense training against its effects. Only with training can we begin to consider ourselves even remotely able to say, without reservation, I am my brother's keeper.
My Brother's Keeper was written by Pete Morstad and produced and transcribed by the Rocky Mountain Radio Council for the Federal Civil Defense Administration under the production supervision of Nat S. Linden.